Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Everyone you will hear as a guest this hour, except yours truly, is one step closer to landing a program on television. They are winners of SiriusXM 2020's Independent Pilot Competition, and they join me next. Also ahead, Ava DuVernay tackles Colin Kaepernick, BET Awards on CBS, and our new classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 86 human degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you on this next-to-last day of June 2020. Believe it or not, first half of this year, new decade, almost by the books. But we're happy to have you aboard for the program all about TV's current and future. And we invite you, as always, to be involved in the program and with our guests. How do you do that? You give them a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is in business right now for you. You're shouting out the phone. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. He will be live with you. Our SiriusXM 2020 winners will be joining us throughout the hour from Los Angeles, and it all begins after these news notes. Ava DuVernay's next Netflix miniseries will be Colin in Black and White, a 6-episode dramatization of controversial NFL star Colin Kaepernick's high school years. Kaepernick will narrate each of the 6 episodes, and DuVernay will re-team with writer Michael Starbury, who put together the Emmy and Peabody award-winning Netflix venture When They See Us almost a year ago. More Netflix developments, 8 Critics' Choice Real TV Awards came out yesterday. Cheer and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy each received 2 awards apiece. One category was a tie. Best Culinary Series won by Chopped at Food Network and Top Chef from Bravo. Again, Netflix the big winner with 8 awards overall. More than 5 million people watched the 20th anniversary BET Awards through BET on CBS, or CBS, I should say, and it was the first broadcast cable network simulcast in the ceremony's existence. As it turned out, even with CBS 3 World at 2 million viewers, it was not the highest-rated broadcast program of the night, which was Celebrity Family Feud on ABC. Here's some quickies. MTV now has the green light to stage its 2020 Video Music Awards late August at the Barclays Center here in Brooklyn, with a limited live audience or no one in. That, according to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, gave the green light earlier today. NBC will take over coverage of the U.S. Open Golf Tournament from Fox this September. What's more, NBC will keep the Open and other U.S. Golf Association events through 2026. The problem? Because the Open went from June, its normal Father's Day weekend run, till September, it became in conflict with Fox's coverage of both college football and the National Football League. That's why they gave the tournament and the other USGA events over to NBC. It's expected NBC will pay the USGA about $500 million for the rights through 2026. And by the way, not only will NBC carry the events, but there'll be coverage on Golf Channel and Peacock, which begins about 15 days from now. Actually, 16. July 15th is the start date for Peacock, the mega programming service on smart TV sets and smart devices already on Comcast systems nationally, but will now go throughout the all over the place on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And finally, Britannia will debut on Epix August 2nd. That's been in the works for quite a while. And that is news notes for today. One of the great things we love doing on this program is to bring you the winners of pilot competitions from TV festivals all over the place. Last week, it was SiriusXM 2020's turn. It was the first time that the winners were announced in virtual fashion. So we're going to bring you those winners. We're going to bring you one winner in the first half hour, the folks behind the second winner in our second half hour. So kicking things off, joining us live from Los Angeles is the creator and the producer of the winning pilot in the drama category. That program is called, in believe it or not, Story of You. And joining us live right now is the, as I said, creator and producer of the pilot, Rory Kane. Rory, welcome in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. First of all, your thoughts on winning.
Sorry, what was that?
Your thoughts about winning the award last week.
I was honestly very surprised. There was a lot of amazing pilots, and I really was not expecting that. So it was, we were watching, you know, the televised the event on our computer at home and just kind of trying to see who won. And when they announced our pilot, we were very honored, but very surprised.
Was it a little weird to win it in a virtual way as opposed to being in front of an audience and getting the trophy and addressing the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, I guess I'm glad I didn't have a speech prepared, so I'm glad I didn't have to do anything like that. But it was, I guess the only part that's weird is you want to celebrate with your other cast and crew, and it was, you know, we kind of tried to celebrate over the phone, but it would have been nice to, that part was a little weird, but otherwise, it was fine.
And that was, by the way, the pilot itself was not the only win for your program. You won, I think, one or two other awards, too, last week.
Yeah, I won Best Actress, and that was really, really humbling as well. There were so many great actors and actresses, and I'm glad that they connected to what I tried to, the story I was trying to tell, and I'm glad people connected to that, the judges.
So let's get into the Rolly Kane story. How long you been trying to get yourself into the television field, and what had you create Story of You and act in it?
Well, it's funny because I went to college as a musical theater major, and then I thought, who does that? I'm not going to have a career from that. So I switched to I got my degree in elementary education, and I actually taught fourth grade for 2 years, which also kind of helped inspire my character Jane in Story of You. She's a kindergarten teacher, and so I'm familiar with that world. So I've been in LA for about 5 years now, and I moved out here to be an actress initially, and I think I got tired of sitting around waiting for for parts, and I decided I wrote for a sketch team for a couple of years, and I would always write sketch comedy with my friends and write on the side, but I finally, this last year, got the confidence to, I did a Kickstarter, and it just kind of happened very quickly. We shot it in January and got it edited last minute for the festival.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your experience as a teacher propelled the idea of Story of You. How so?
The Story of You actually came a little bit more from, I mean, I think we all have uncommon families, but I've always been very interested in nature versus nurture, and the teacher aspect is, I think it's so interesting when you look at kids when they're young. Some parts you can see the things they regurgitate from what they hear from their parents, the way they behave. Some things just are natural, they can't help, and then other things you can see kind of the type of person they're going to become before they've even grown up, and I always thought that was interesting when I was a teacher. And with my pilot, both my parents were married when I was like 4, and I went back and forth between 2 families, and I have 5 half-siblings, and I always just thought it's interesting to think what we have in common with our family members and what is different and how that comes to be.
Now, you label your family uncommon as a, some might label after they see the pilot, maybe dysfunctional. What's the difference between uncommon and dysfunctional?
It's hard to say because I wouldn't, I mean, every person I talk to, I think actually a stereotypical common still married family is very rare. And I think we all have dysfunctional moments in our families and dysfunctional we all have things that don't work out with other people in our family. So I think that's a universal feeling that I wanted to try to capture, that maybe even if your parents are still married or everything seems to go as the status quo, there's still going to be things that each family struggles with. And I wanted to try to capture that feeling of the awkward things that how do I relate to this person when we are completely different, or how do I relate to this person if we are not related by blood, but I share all the same, you know, outlooks on life.
We are talking with Rolly Kane. She is the creator and the star of Story of You. And a week ago, it won the Independent Pilot Competition at Series Fest 2020 at Denver, Colorado. First time virtually in that festival's history for Best Drama Pilot. Ed Raleigh is live with us from Los Angeles, as will our other winners will be in our second half hour right here. This today on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appel with you live from New York, 86 degrees at the top of the hour, another very humid day as June gives way to July, first half 2020 gives way to the second half, starting on Wednesday. Happy to have you along, whether you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And if you have a question or comment for Raleigh, by all means, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Appel 04 by name. Because the July 4th holiday weekend starts on a Friday this time around, we're going to be with you with our second episode of the week a day earlier on Thursday, that's Thursday, July 2nd, at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And joining us off the top will be the executive producer of the brand new USA Network series, Cannonball. That's the one hosted by that popular WWE personality, The Miz, dealing with contestants who do their thing in a variety of water obstacle hazards, if you will. Think of that as the wipeout that's totally water. You really do get wet here. We'll talk with executive producer Bernie Schaefer. And in fact, if you don't want to wait till July to catch the premiere of USA's Cannonball, you can watch it tonight on NBC in prime time. So catch it in prime time tonight, then join us for Bernie Schaefer from Cannonball this Thursday. He will be our lead guest. And we're delighted to tell you that another Series Fest 2020 pilot winner will be joining us for the first time. We're going to be covering the unscripted pilot winner, and it is a doozy. It's called Racist Trees. It's about a situation that's been developing over the last couple of months in Palm Springs, California. And we will talk to its executive producer and creator, Sarah Nevins. It's Sarah Nevins from the unscripted winner, Racist Trees. More from Series Fest 2020 this Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Raleigh, how long did it take for you to develop the concept, the story of you, and come up with a script?
Well, I've been thinking about this story for a long time, and then it's funny. I literally sat down one weekend last April and didn't leave my apartment, and I wrote the whole thing in one weekend. And, of course, that was the first draft, and I made revisions since then. But it kind of all came spilling out really quickly. And that was last April, and then I kind of sat on it over the summer. And then, I don't know what happened, but I kind of just got something in me, and I decided last October I was going to raise the money to make it, and then we shot it in December, or January. So, yeah.
And what kind of a person do you play in this pilot, and what's the basic plot line?
So, the plot line is a kindergarten teacher who has always done things by the book. Status quo is kind of going through a quarter life crisis of sorts. She finds herself in an affair and pregnant in the middle of the affair, and she doesn't know who the father is. So that's how the pilot starts off. But then by the end, I don't want to give any spoilers, but she learns some things run in the family. And the person I play, Jane, I grew up in Kansas City, from Missouri and then Kansas. I think sometimes, but it's not just to the Midwest. I think all over the country, sometimes we get bored and we look for excitement in other things. And for Jane, an affair is exciting and it's breaking her status quo. And she's pushing boundaries. And it gets a little out of control. And then to deal with it, she doesn't tell her husband. Instead, she keeps it inside and tries to cover everything up, and it doesn't go well.
You said that it wasn't much of a struggle to get the basic idea turned into a script. How much of a struggle was it to get the funding through Kickstarter and then enrolling a production crew to share your vision?
It's funny because the script, it was still, I guess, after, writing almost every day, all the time, sometimes things are still a struggle to get out, and sometimes they come out quickly, but it definitely was years of working on writing that helped me to get the story out quickly. But for the Kickstarter, I was also overwhelmed and surprised and felt very humbled by the amount of just friends from back home and friends from around here and family that were glad to chip in $20-$30 to help me make my show. And we met our goal very quickly. We had a goal of $15,000, and we made that in a month. And then I put a little bit more of my own money in on the back end. But that came together really quickly. And then I ended up just casting, honestly, all my friends from my improv and sketch. For my sketch teams, I submitted this as a drama, but I always like when people that are more on the comedy side play darker parts, because I I always think they bring something a little bit different, and they can make the subtle jokes in there really pop, and then, yeah.
Where did you film or tape around Los Angeles?
We filmed all of this in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting deal. As a matter of fact, Oklahoma's Film and TV Commission was one of the sponsors this year of Series Fest, which is a very big
them. Yeah, we didn't even know that they were going to be, but my co-director, and he's DP'd another short of mine, he's originally from Oklahoma, and the problem was, with my script, I was going to film in L.A., but half of it takes place in a school. And I knew that getting a school we could afford and all the paperwork and everything in L.A. would be a lot trickier. And he said, I know all the crew in Oklahoma. So all of our crew was Oklahoma. And some of the actors are from Oklahoma. And he said, why don't we just shoot it out there? And it worked out really well.
Where did you go to film or tape in Oklahoma City?
Edmond, which is north of Oklahoma City. And so we used his parents' house as one of the locations, and then a house through the church that his family goes through as the other. And then the school, we had Allison Dick, who is a family friend and a locations person in Oklahoma. She helped us find Heritage Hall Private School. And they were amazing. They found us all the kids. They let us, we paid a very small fee to use their school for 2 days. They were so helpful, and that just worked out better than I could have imagined.
Because you had a crew and a good chunk and some of the cast from Oklahoma City, were there certain things that they were able to point out to you about how to film or how to light or how to bring out character development that you didn't think of originally because you were looking to set this in one location and you end up doing it in another?
Well, I think, as I said, growing up in Kansas, I was really, once we had Oklahoma set, I was very excited to go back to the Midwest because I think a lot of TV shows, if they kind of deal with like edgier topics, they take place on coastal cities. And if they, a lot of more sitcoms are in the Midwest. And I wanted to touch on some edgier topics, but show kind of more the people I grew up with and what people go through in the Midwest on a bit more of a honest lens. And that was really exciting to combine LA people with the Midwest and to focus more on those stories and what they're experiencing.
Story of You is this year's winner of Series Fest Independent TV Pilot Competition for Best Drama, also won another award as well. And we're speaking with its creator and star, Raleigh Kane. She's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tawabi Televised. The next half hour, we're going to have the Best Comedy co-winners, and they're going to join us for a pilot called Everyone Together. We're happy you're along this half hour and this 4 hour to celebrate Series Fest 2020 right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Signing off, I'm with you live from New York. 86 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment on remaining minutes with Raleigh. Make the call go, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up on next Monday on Smart Be Televised, we're going to have the executive producer of the popular new ABC game show, Dunk, from Ryan Reynolds. His name is David Goldberg. And David Goldberg from Dunk, created by Ryan Reynolds, and doing very good so far in its first couple of episodes Thursday night on ABC, along with Holy Moly and To Tell the Truth. So be sure to be with us when David Goldberg from Dunk joins us and does. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Even though this was a virtual Series Fest, not live and in person, were there certain things that you were able to pick up from people who saw your pilot, things you didn't think of or things in terms of the kind of feedback you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bummer not to, I lived in Colorado for 5 years and I was excited to go back to Denver, but I still was able through social media to reach out to most of the creators, and I feel like a lot of people are in LA, so it's nice to be able to, once it's a little bit safer to go out and meet up in public, we can all meet each other and maybe help each other on our own projects. And it was interesting to see, like, one of the comedies I felt like could have also been maybe submitted as a drama, and one of the dramas could have been submitted as a comedy, and it's always nice to see, kind of, I like a little bit of a mixture of both. But yeah, it's always a bummer to not meet up and connect. But I felt like it was nice to watch everything on. I could give it my full attention on my own time and still reach out to creators on social media.
So it's been a week since getting the award. Have you gotten any nibbles from any programming services about taking your pilot and making it a series?
I have a couple meetings, so we'll see. But I'm not sure. This is my first time really in this. I've written before. I've had some shorts and festivals, but this is my first time trying to really sell a show. So this is new territory for me. So if anybody has any advice or wants to meet with me, let me know.
Well, is there a network that you would prefer having your program on because you like the network or because you think that it will, your pilot would get like the best possible treatment?
I think this would be better on a like a streaming service as opposed to a bigger network. Like I watch a lot of Hulu programs, and I know that they don't really have anything in my exactly on this topic. It's hard right now because there's so much TV, and so it seems like every streaming service or every platform or network has their own has that type of show. But this is different. I think it's different because it's a dramedy, and I try to use real life moments of things that are funny that happened in the middle of something tragic, and I really like when that happens. So I think I would love for this to be a Hulu production or streaming somewhere on, Netflix has a ton of shows, but I know that Quibi and Apple started up this year. Yeah, any of those.
A lot of good places to go, and there's also some other networks, too, that have been starting over the last couple of months on smart TV sets and smart TV devices that also may be in the running. You mentioned Hulu, and Hulu seems to be coming into its own with a big rep for both very quirky comedies like 10-15 and Shrill, Rainy. But also, they have been doing some very interesting dramas and dramedies, like The Great, which premiered a couple of weeks ago. We had one of the key people on our program who put it together. And also, they showcased themselves a week ago at the Digital Content New Frontier in New York. And I can tell you they have a very interesting dramedy called Woke, which will be out this fall, which is a mix of live-action animation. It's got the funniest garbage can you have seen in a long time, but I think would give us the vouch for the money.
Oh, sweet. I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's I think this show is going to be a very big sleeper for fall 2020. It looks really terrific, and I like the seamlessness of both the animation and the live action. Well, no matter whatever happens with Story of You, where do you want to go with your career? Where do you want to take it?
Like I said, I initially started out just as an actress, but the thing I loved the most about this was I had never sat down once. I loved, to be selfish, I loved wearing all the hats, and I loved producing, I loved helping direct, I loved writing it and creating it, and I would love to keep, Mindy Kaling is a someone I really look up to. I would love to keep creating shows that I get to act in, but also be the creative producer behind.
The name of the pilot is Story of You. It is this year's SiriusXM 2020 winner for Best Drama, also won another acting award as well. If you want to see that pilot, you still can online. You can go to SiriusXM.com. It's SiriusXM.com, and you can check that pilot as well as the other 60-plus pilots that were in the running this year in the independent pilot competition. Also, if you want to check out our interview last week with one of the organizers of SiriusXM 2020, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And also check out our podcast, because you'll also find that interview on iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. Rolly, Kane, congratulations on your win for Best Drama. Good luck. If the pilot, by the way, does become a series, we would love to have you back on and talk about it as it becomes a series, and hopefully it'll be on Hulu or Netflix or some other service. Congratulations again. It's been great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. All the greatest. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Rolly King from Story of You, the Best Drama Winner at SiriusXM 2020, joining us live from Los Angeles. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll have the trio behind the comedy winner, Everyone Together, all from L.A. Our new crappy trivia question coming up, and first awards from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you heard one of their most popular audiobooks in recent months, Where the Crawdads Sing by Gilly Owens, is becoming a television miniseries. And in the meantime, if you don't want to wait for the miniseries, you can check out the audiobook version anytime you like. Why? Because you can subscribe to it and have that book be your freebie as a trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing the sound right now, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get not only one free audiobook and that 1 month trial, but for a limited time only, you can get some great wellness material that will help you through whatever health issues you might be dealing with or wellness fitness issues you might be dealing with out of this pandemic or anything else. Plus, you get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. You can also pick your free book from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio productions, one woman, one man shows, and the best of Broadway, off Broadway, and regional theater. So how about having this be, before the 4th of July weekend, your week to discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. And by the way, it makes a great Independence Day weekend gift for you or someone you love. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our opportunity question of the week. We did not get an answer to our returning question that we posed over the last 2 weeks. The question was, name the person who played Superboy on the 1980s syndicated Superboy TV series. Who played Superboy on the syndicated Superboy TV series from 1988 to 1992? Well, we told you off the bat that there are actually two people who played that role. The first season, it was John Haynes Newton, who later on became a supporting actor on another syndicated series, The Untouchables, from Paramount Television, ran 2 seasons. The other one was Gerard Christopher, who played Superboy from seasons 2 to 4. So once again, the answers, John Haynes Newton and Gerard Christopher. So unfortunately, nobody got the answer over the last 2 weeks. So we're going to have a new question coming your way in a couple moments. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win A Very English Scandal by John Preston. That's the famous novel that begat the wonderful miniseries last year starring Hugh Grant. And we're also going to throw in, from Nat Geo Wild, 3 episodes of their popular series, Fish Tank Kings. So that's on CD, and you can get both prizes if you know the answer to this question. On Friday, we did an exclusive interview with Quentin Kim. He is somebody who is out to become a new mega Uber producer of TV series. And one of the people he's looking up to is Greg Berlanti, who now has 20 different television series on the air all over the TV dial, from Netflix to the CW. Here's our question. Name the first television series Greg Berlanti executive produced. Name the first TV series Greg Berlanti executive produced more than 20 years ago. We will give you a hint. It's on one of the two. It was on one of the two networks that ultimately became the CW. One more time, here's the question. Name the first TV series Greg Berlanti executive produced. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name, full name, and where you're emailing from, full mailing address. So if you win, we'll get the prize out to you as soon as possible. One more time, the question. Name the first television series Greg Berlanti executive produced. More than 20 years ago, it was on one of the two networks that ultimately merged into the CW. And if you came in late on the question, we'll repeat it. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. That's Simon Applebaum on Facebook, and on Twitter it's at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Let's see if we get our first winner since we brought back this feature 2 weeks ago after several months away because of the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. This is Tomorrow We Televise, the program about TV's current and future, our final June 2020 episode. It's also our final episode of the first half of 2020. And we're delighted that you are with us live on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. When we come back, our second Series Fest 2020 pilot winner. This time it's in the comedy category, and this time we have a threesome for you from Los Angeles. Their names are Jessica Kay, Stephen Klein, and Kelsey Ligon from Everyone Together. They will all join us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio in the galaxy. It's www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Together, more than 45 million listeners around the world every month. And growing. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Stay up to date on what's going on with this pandemic all over the U.S. and around the world, plus original podcasts and other material. The Coronavirus News Channel, operating 24/7 for you. Tune in radio at tunein.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Tell Live on this final episode of June 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 86 degrees at the top of the hour. And right now we're going back to Los Angeles for our second pilot showcase. Another winner in SiriusXM 2020, a wonderful independent pilot showcase that they do every year out of Denver, Colorado. First time was virtually over 60 pilots were included. This is the one that won for best comedy. It's called Everyone Together. And joining us live and together is the threesome that made it happen from Los Angeles, Jessica Kay, Stephen Klein, and Kelsey Legend. Jessica, Stephen, Kelsey, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Pleasure to have all of you with us. Jessica, we'll start with you. What's it been like to get all the feedback over the last week about winning?
It's been so wonderful. We've worked really hard on this project, and to have this, we were supposed to premiere at South by Southwest, and that was canceled, and to have this be our premiere and this to be our first reception has been so, so good.
So, Stephen, this is sounds like it's been a very interesting road, which involves other festivals, or would have involved other festivals, to get the series fest.
Yeah, we were fortunate to be accepted into South by Southwest, and we were gearing up for that and all of that excitement. Both Jeff and I are alums of that festival with other projects, and of course it was shut down due to coronavirus. So that started out as a big sort of bump in the road for us. It was sad. It was disappointing. We pushed back our schedule for pitching the show, and then it turned into an opportunity to premiere at SiriusXM, which was really wonderful. And of course, we're thrilled to have been honored with the awards.
Yeah. And Kelsey, along with Just Like You, your pilot also won more than one award. What did it win?
Yeah, it also won Best Writing, so that was a huge compliment.
Mm-hmm. So did all three of you come together with the idea for Everyone Together, or was it one of you three and then the other two came along?
It was definitely all three of us. In fact, Stephen and Jess had the initial idea for it, and they brought me in later to write it. So we certainly collaborated greatly for a long time before I ever wrote anything. But it was definitely all three of us, a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, how did all three of you meet up, and was this pilot also based on personal experience to some degree, or was it everyone's flight of fancy?
So two-part question, but there's a lot of fun in the second part of the question, which is, was it based on personal experience or more fiction? And certainly there's some fictional elements in how we pull themes and stories and character traits into the same world. But the themes and stories and character traits are definitely coming from personal experience and things we were thinking about and talking about and sharing about our own lives and our own families and crazy weddings we've been to and all kinds of things. For the first part of the question, we met, Jess and I met quite a while ago now. Like, I think we did do the math on this, Jeff, but it's like more than, I don't know, it's like 15 years ago,
like
give or take.
15 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we were introduced to a mutual friend and one of my best friends from childhood, because we were both actors who were also producing. And we just became friends over the years, and I saw a movie that Jess produced that premiered at South by Southwest that she was also in, and
I wrote and directed it, just to be clear.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, very much your movie.
Yeah.
And it's also true that we had been for years mistaken for siblings, and so including that we tricked a high school friend of mine into believing that, in fact, she was a long-lost sibling of mine. And so somewhere in all of that, I thought, I'd love to see if we could develop an idea and play siblings and get to make something together that we can be in and create. And we started sharing ideas, started brainstorming things, including things we were afraid of, people, things that were happening in our families, And we started to shape an idea, but wanted to bring in someone to kind of helm the writing, particularly of the pilot that we knew we wanted to make. And we loved Kelsey, and we brought her into the mix. And then it really was a lot of the three of us sharing stories, kind of group therapy with each other, and ideas taking shape over time that then resulted in the pilot and the plan for the series.
Yeah. Kelsey, in Story of You's case, you had a situation where you had an actress who moved into teaching and then moved into the process of creating a pilot. Was that similar, not just for you, but your colleagues? Were you all actors as opposed to being filmmakers, and therefore the process of creation was much more easier or much more natural?
We were all actors, actually, Stephen and Jess still do act. I also used to act. I no longer do. And that element was very helpful. Stephen and Jess, unlike me, had made films before, and so they were much more experienced in producing and in every element that goes into production. And I was a very green baby when it came to this, because this was my first ever produced anything. So that was a real luxury for me.
You are hearing the threesome behind Everyone Together. That is the SiriusXM 2020 comedy winner of their annual Independent Poly Competition out of Denver. Jessica Kaye, Stephen Klein, and Kelsey Legend. And just like Story of You, it also won another award as well, this one for Best Writing of a Comedy Pilot. We have them all from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Coming up, we'll be live from New York. Glad you're with us on this next to last day of June 2020. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Make your voice known at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and you will find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You check out NBC tonight, you'll see a preview of the new USA Network series, Cannonball, hosted by that WWE superstar, The Miz. We will have a special look at Cannonball on our episode Thursday, not Friday, which we normally are, Thursday, our normal hour, 3:32 Pacific. Executive producer Bernie Schaefer will join us. And again, Cannonball premieres on USA next month, but there's a preview tonight in prime time on NBC. Also, we will bring you for the first time an unscripted winner from SiriusXM this time around. She is the creator and producer of a very controversial docu-series called Racist Trees, based on an actual situation going on in Palm Springs, California. Sarah Nevins is the creator and producer, and she'll be with us live on our special edition Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Normally, we'll be fired because of the 4th of July weekend. We're coming your way 24 hours earlier. That's Bernie Schaefer from Cannonball on USA and tonight on NBC. Then Sarah Nevins from the unscripted award winner series SiriusXM 2020, Racist Trees, all for Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jessica, what is it like for three people rather than one to create a pilot, to make a pilot gel, and to come up with an idea that everybody lives with?
Well, when those people are Stephen Klein and Kelsey Legend, it's pretty rad to have two other collaborators. I'm used to writing solo. The feature that I wrote, I co-wrote, so I'm really into collaboration. It's one of my favorite things about filmmaking. And when you get to have two other voices who are in line with yours, the way that ideas get to build upon each other, and like it's just kind of, it's like hanging out with friends and talking about real things and then making something from those real intense deep conversations. It's just so much fun.
Stephen, what's the basic premise of Everyone Together, the basic plot line?
That's very well timed, because I was just thinking we should tell your listeners what the basic premise is. Everyone Together as a show follows two dysfunctional families from two different cultural backgrounds as they clash and bond over a new family milestone event each season. And so it explores through, you know, grounding each season in one family event. And the first season is the wedding of the youngest daughter of the Silvertons and the youngest son of the Rizvis, as they marry each other and everyone comes together for a destination wedding for a week. In the structure of these contained family events that, you know, bring everybody together in intense circumstances, we explore the fact that as we struggle to figure out who we are, the two things we really struggle against are our family stories and our cultural stories. And, of course, big family events are places where our family stories, what our parents and our siblings and our cousins think we should be doing with our lives, and our cultural stories, the generational stories of what we should be doing and how we should be living, all collide with our own personal impulses for what we want for ourselves. And we think there's great drama and great comedy in that.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey, why don't three of you decide on this annual anthology approach, something like, you know, what Ryan Murphy does with American Horror Stories and other, or American Crime Story, what other people do with the things, and of all the different life-altering events that brings families together, why this first?
That's a great question. Well, first, Even and Jess had that idea prior to me coming in to base a show around milestone events, and so the first season would be a wedding, then a divorce or a death, a birth, so on and so forth. And I love that idea so much. And I believe we wanted to start with a wedding because it combined these two families that initially had a lot of conflict, but by the end really grow to accept that they're integral parts of each other's lives from that point forward. And we had this idea or a vision for future seasons where both those families' stories would be explored interchangeably. So I think we wanted to start off with a wedding because it expanded our world a little bit.
And Jessica, what is the point of view here? Is it the point of view of one or both of the families that are in this, that encounter themselves in this, or is it something like Modern Family where you have an outsider come in and film or tape what's going on, and so you're getting these sort of detached look from afar as to what's happening?
That's an interesting question. I would definitely say it's not a detached look. This season seems to focus on the Silverton siblings, or at least the pilot. We're developing it to be a little, the series we're developing is inspired by the pilot, but not an exact copy of it. So I would say it's a more personalized approach, whoever it is we're following that season. Would you agree, Kelsey and Steven?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And as we've evolved the idea, you know, we've continued to work on the idea since making the pilot, and it's continued to grow and evolve and become deeper. And one of the things that's great about this structure is that whatever's happening in the world, whatever big things that are coming up thematically, culturally, that are impacting our lives personally and collectively, can find their way in, because those are the same kinds of things that will be coming up in any real-time big family event when you get a bunch of people together with conflicting agendas for each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen, it seemed that, same thing with Rachel, that it wasn't much of a struggle to get the pilot, you know, honed down, to have a script. Was there a struggle in terms of getting funding? Was there a struggle in terms of lining up a cast, lining up a production crew? And when the struggle pops, this is for anybody, when the struggle pops, how do you handle it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's true that relative to other low-budget projects I've developed or made, this process of arriving at the script of this felt relatively effortless, but that's a misnomer because, of course, there's a tremendous amount of effort in it. It just, including on Kelsey's behalf, it just means that there was a lot of positive creative flow among the three of us, which is for sure true. But I think in turning that idea into, you know, taking it from the page to the screen, there's an enormous number of hurdles. And I would say the biggest hurdles for us, I mean, we didn't shoot it on a very huge budget, so we shot it on quite a small budget, so that raising that money wasn't a giant hurdle. What was a bigger hurdle was pulling off big ideas on a very limited budget. And in our case, I think probably the biggest aspects of that were production design, which is really strong, and including locations that we shot in we had to find a place to shoot where someone would actually host a destination wedding. And we found an old hippie commune in Topanga that's amazing, and that allowed us to shoot there while other people were still living there. And that sort of helped us pull off things that was a real hurdle logistically. But because we assembled an amazing team, we had a great director of photography, Aaron Ho, his gaffer, Matt Boswell, production designer, Amelia Steele, costume designer, Dakota Keller, really good department heads. That pulled off
also
amazing things with very
Lauren
little.
Lauren Ludwig, who directed it.
Thank
amazing.
You. That's a huge point. Lauren Ludwig, our director, is a hero throughout. And all of it was hard, but everybody was willing to work hard and was really talented, and so got it done.
Yeah, I would say, like,
Kelsey,
the biggest – sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say the biggest challenges were stuff that happened on our shoot, you know, because we were this low budget shoot and the weather decided it wasn't going to cooperate and we had mud everywhere and sandstorms and electrical stuff and, you know, and that's where everyone just buckled down and made it happen and still had fun.
that leads a nice segue into just for you, Kelsey. Did the intention of the script change because of where you shot the pilot? In other words, did you think going in, well, we're going to give you a little bit about before the wedding, we're going to give you a little bit after the wedding, and then the whole thing, you know, or did it actually turn out that the wedding was all that you could really do? And that was because of not only where you filmed or taped, but also the circumstances, like the sandstorm, like the a mudslide or whatever.
Yeah, so the script is always meant to happen. In fact, the whole series is meant to happen at the destination wedding. We do exit that destination a couple times, but that was always the intention. Although I did have to go through, I mean, I want to say I did like 20 rewrites between us picking the location to when we shot it, just because you really – the script needed to incorporate the environment, and so the more we got to know what the environment was, the more we could curate the script around that. And so we certainly did have changes, but they weren't major, they weren't seen. They didn't change the ultimate destination. The destination was always going to be at the wedding the whole time.
Jessica Kay, Stephen Klein, and wonderful Kelsey Legan are at our destination tomorrow. We televised this half hour to talk about their award-winning Comedy Pilot Series Fest 2020 last week. Everyone together won the best comedy pilot as part of Series Fest annual independent pilot competition. More than 60-plus entries this year, a big record for them. And they're all going to fly from Los Angeles this half hour on tomorrow. Will be televised. Found that one with you live from where we are. Happy to have you with us at the start of this week, which is a shorter week than all because of the July 4th weekend. And by the way, coming up next Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, when we have a full week, we'll have, as one of our guests, the executive producer of the popular new ABC game show on Thursday night, Dome, from Ryan Reynolds, David Goldberg. He'll be with us. And we have some other people also that we're planning as well. That's next Monday, July 6th, David Goldberg from Dome, which you can catch Thursday night on ABC. He'll be with us next Monday, 3 to 8 noon Pacific, our regular time right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jessica, what did you and your colleagues learn from the Series Fest experience? What kind of feedback did you get from people who saw the pilot?
It was overwhelmingly positive. And so what I have taken away is that, you know, this is a concept that is fresh and exciting and a team that has something relevant and heartfelt to say, which I knew, but was really nice to have that validation. And I think we're taking that energy moving forward as we start pitching this project later next month.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, what's happening with the pitching? Have you got any nibbles before you get really into the pitching process? Have you gotten some nibbles from filming services who have seen the pilot and want to talk with you?
Yeah, we're getting some nibbles, and we're kind of lining everybody up to hear pitches in what we hope will be a relatively organized way in the back half of July. But we're really excited. You know, we've been chewing on this idea for a long time, and I totally second what Jeff just said about, you know, we know we've been passionate about it. We know we've felt a deep connection to it, and to have that validated not only from other creators at Series Fest who were really wonderful colleagues and whose work we really admired, but also from the jury through the award really helps add fuel to the fire. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Kathy, if you and your colleagues get a green light from somebody to turn this into a true annual anthology from one episode to, who knows, 10, 13 episodes, how do you structure each situation? Do you do it with different weddings each episode? Do you do it with the same two families involved for the entire year? How do you see the structure evolving as a series?
It's a really good question, and one where – so the first season takes place over the course of a week-long destination wedding. So the first episode pilot covers the engagement, and then we jump forward to the first day of the destination wedding. And then it essentially just tracks the way that each character evolves through the various clashes and things that come up through being together in such a confined space for so long. And then the later seasons, you know, depending on what the event is, the structure is a little bit different. So we've talked at length about what the divorce season will look like, what the death season will look like. And they certainly track the same family that we're beginning with. And maybe they highlight more side character more prominently for the later seasons. Maybe we circle back and we highlight the characters that we mainly highlighted in the wedding. It's just, I think, a really interesting structure to explore a group of people over a long period of time that we're excited about.
Jessica, how did you and your colleagues come up with the title, Everyone Together? Was it a pretty fast call, or was this something that provoked a lot of discussion before everybody agreed on something?
I think we threw ideas around for a while, and if I remember correctly, I think our director, Lauren Ludwig, actually came up with the title that we all agreed on, which is Everyone Together, because it makes total sense. That's the concept of our show, is everyone is being forced to be together and what happens, but also the idea of like everyone, each individual, all together. That's the whole like thematic premise of our series, which is, you know, the individual within their community and how that interrelationship and the complexity of that interrelationship.
Final question for all three of you. Where would you like to see, ideally, your series play?
I mean, it's funny because I think, at least from my standpoint, I'm less attached to any one network. I'm more interested in finding out who the best collaborators would be, you know, the people that would help our idea move forward the best. And, you know, that creative synergy is the most important element, I think. So whoever fits that bill, I'm happy.
Yeah, agreed.
The program is Everyone Together, and it turned out to be among the comedy pilots at Series Fest 2020, this year's Independent TV Pilot Competition winner. Also won another award, too, for Best Writing of a Comedy Pilot. If you want to see Everyone Together, as well as all of the pilots in competition this year at Series Fest out of Denver, here's where you go online, SeriesFest.com. It's SeriesFest.com. And once again, just like with Raleigh's pilot, Story of You, we will stay in touch with the creators, and if they do land a sale and have a deal to go on a network at some point in the future, we will bring them, of course, back. But once again, SeriesFest.com to see the pilot, Everyone Together, and all the competition winners who we thank and we congratulate for what they did at Series Fest last week in Denver, first time virtual, and hopefully next year it's back live and in person in that great Rocky Mountain Arena. Jessica Kay, Stephen Klein, Kelsey Legend, thank you all very much. Congratulations and all the very best in making your program a series.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jessica and Stephen and Kelsey. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Jessica Kay, Stephen Klein, and Kelsey Legend joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Told. And once again, if you'd like to check out our episode last week with one of the organizers of Series Fest, that's Allison Greenberg Millich, all you gotta go is to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And also check out the podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio.com. Before we leave you, we want to offer our condolences to Judge Judy, because in recent months they have lost two key members of their production team. First, the voice you heard introducing every episode and every case and all the litigants over the last 24 years, the popular Los Angeles DJ Kerry Bishop. And more recently, last week, the executive producer of the series, Tim Regler. He was originally a producer director. He then became executive producer about 5 years ago. He won the Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Courtroom Series. Tim Regler passed away of a heart condition at the age of 68. So we want to send condolences to the Judge Judy family, production team, Judy herself, everyone involved, and, of course, the families of both Jerry Bishop and Tim Regler. They will be profoundly missed. Thanks to all our guests for being with us today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, we are with you on Thursday, not Friday, Thursday, because July 4th holiday weekend. And joining us at a regular hour will be from the new USA Network series, Cannonball, getting a trial run tonight on NBC, executive producer Bernie Schaefer. And then the creator and producer of the unscripted pilot winner at Series Fest 2020, very controversial pilot called Racist Trees, about a controversy still going on in Palm Springs, California, creator and producer Sarah Evans. The next Monday, from the new ABC hit game show, Don't, with Ryan Reynolds, executive producer David Goldberg. If you came in late on today's program or want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, anytime you like this week, check out our podcast, available on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. If you go to the latter two websites, put Tomorrow Be Told in the search bar, click, and you are there. Remember, we always love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And also, find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate with us, we love hearing from you, and we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not to those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is head of content. And the co-founders are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free book and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. Back on Thursday before we all get together for a fantastic Independence Day weekend. Regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you have to be between now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Please wear that mask, do social distancing, and it won't be long, hopefully, before we lift this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.